And let's pray. And Father, I want to ask again as I open up your word, I pray that you would help me now not to say anything that I shouldn't say. Help me not to say anything that is false. I pray that you would make my mind very clear, that you would give me one and one only purpose, that is to please you. And I pray that the things that we study through tonight would be of value to the people who are listening, and that they would be able to apply them in their lives where they fit and make good choices. Amen. All right, by request, we're going to study through the subject of the women's place in the workplace. Controversial subject. People, most of modern Christianity, let's say, today, is going to be on the loose side of the subject, allowing women to have careers. And their kids, you know, off to the babysitter, off to school. That's most of Christianity is going to be leaning on that side. But in the few remaining conservative circles, whether they're just a little home church here or maybe even a conservative denomination like the Mennonites, they tend to be on the other side to a fault. What I want to do is I'm not going to draw very, very, very clear lines tonight and say this is where you stand, because I don't think there is any such thing as very clear lines on the subject. I think because the subject we're dealing with here is not a moral right or wrong, but it's a matter of, one, keeping the commands that God gave us, and two, doing what's going to work for a home, different situations affect the subject differently. There are people who know me and Nikki who said probably 10 years ago that our marriage was going to fail, because Nikki works at the store. And that's wrong, because the Bible says a woman is supposed to be a keeper at home, right? So let's go back for a minute here. Let's change something for the last 10 years of our life, since our marriage is just falling apart now, and we want to try to redeem it. Let's go back 10 years ago. And instead of living outside of the store, let's just build a bedroom onto the end of the store and let's live there. Now is it okay for her to work? If we made that simple change, is it okay for her to work everything that she did?
No, in the kitchen too.
Oh, well, there's already a kitchen there. See, the thing of it is, if that was our home, things would be different. But because it's detached from our home, it's wrong for Nikki to work there, because she's supposed to be a keeper at home. Let's go read that passage. It's in Titus chapter 2. Titus 2. We'll just begin at the beginning. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. In order to determine what obedience to this phrase, keepers at home, means, we would do well to outlaw its possible meanings that cannot make sense either with the scripture or with the passage. All right? So let's start there. In the last 100 years in Christianity, where this subject has been a dominant part of a lot of Christian circles, a very dominant subject, in opposition to the feminist movements that have taken place over the last 100 years, we have virtually come up with a definition for this keepers at home to mean a wife who does not have a career. Okay? Now, that's not in any way, shape, or form what the words actually just said. It said keepers at home. So, a wife or a woman that does not have a career is kind of where we have now placed these three words in many Christian circles. It is a wife who is not the bread earner for the family. It is a wife who does not work. It is a wife who travels the countryside visiting the other women in the church, or sits on the telephone talking to the other women in the church or friends and relatives worldwide, or sits on the computer at home chatting, doing the Lord's work while the kids run ragged and the husband comes home to find the house a mess, the dishes undone, the kids not taken care of. And so our definition has completely failed many, many modern Christian circles, because these women don't have jobs, but they are in no way, shape, or form obeying the verse. We had this happen. I'll volunteer our church for this. We had this happen many years ago in our church, where some of the ladies in our church very well kept what we are defining it as, a woman who doesn't have a career, which is an incorrect definition now. We'll explain that later, but right now it's an incorrect definition. But these women, some of them, not all of them, but some of them, did very well in not having a career, not working, letting their husband do the work while they sat with their ear glued to the telephone if they were not at somebody's house. And if they were not on the telephone, it was because they were on the way to somebody's house or they were sitting at somebody's house. And I know, because they came over to our house all the time, I know exactly how they treated their kids. Since there were some older kids in our family, some of them even liked little children and babies and liked to take care of them, the mother would come into the house, she would drop the kids, drop her stuff, and her mouth would run at jet speed the entire time she was there until she left, and half of what she did was gossip, and she never even touched the kids. They were in good hands, of course, you know. They were being well taken care of. But, you know, I don't know of any woman who has a career that doesn't leave her children with a responsible babysitter, right? Now, if you're going to have a career in gossiping, only you don't get paid for it, and you're leaving your kids with a responsible babysitter, you are no different than a woman who is out in the workplace sending her kids to public school or off to a babysitter or you name it, whatever, grandma, whatever you want to do. You're no different. Whatever this verse means, that women should be keepers at home, it does not mean that you are not responsible to provide for the family, therefore you are free to waste your life. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 3. It says, "Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of her good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Now, if you want me to give you a personal definition of what I think the main thrust of this verse in Titus, keepers at home, means, it means exactly what Paul is writing about here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, about what the young women are supposed to do with their lives. All right? They are supposed to marry, bear children, and guide the house. It has absolutely nothing to say whatsoever about whether or not she works. It has absolutely nothing to say about whether or not she ever has a babysitter, whether or not what kind of a life she is living. It's talking about the fact that her time and energy are devoted to the family, not to running around busybody. In other people's matters, causing trouble, gossiping, and the list goes on and on and on. That is the basics. Now, if we take the basics and we build conclusions off the basics, we're going to come to the conclusion that a married woman that has kids, in general, is probably can't have a career, in general. I'm not going to say that as an absolute, because I think there's even exceptions to that rule. We'll go over one later that I think is an absolute exception to that rule. But as a general rule, it is impossible for a woman who is married and has kids to be out on working a career. Now, we could argue at this moment, if we wanted to, we could argue that a woman who has her kids responsibly with a babysitter is covering all her ends and is properly taking care of her household, and therefore it's all right for her to be out working. However, like I said at the beginning, I'm not going to draw clear lines because I don't think this is a moral matter. When there are not clear lines, there is still a magnetic force, if you will, that we call something being spiritual. All right? You do not have to look very far in the scriptures and understand God's principles for the home to understand the truth behind Christianity's general opposition to women being career women. Okay? You don't have to go very far to come up with that as an absolute. Tonight, I want to make sure that nobody misunderstands anything that I say, to think that I could potentially be arguing with the stand that Christianity has taken the last 100 years. The stand that Christianity has taken the last 100 years about women's place in the workplace has been, in general, absolutely right, absolutely biblical, and needs to be upheld. But remember, situations in life change. Society changes. The way that we do things changes. And sometimes it is easy to take a doctrine that is true and correct when it is first taught in opposition to the destruction of the family that many people in the world are heading for, the way that the women don't want to be responsible for kids, the way birth control came out, and women wanted to be career women, and they didn't want to be in authority under the husband, but they wanted to have equal place with the husband, and so on and on. The way that Christianity opposed that was right, but it is possible to take that basic shell of opposition and create a hard and fast shell that we move along down the corridor of time with us, and it just doesn't fit life today anymore. And now, instead of applying the principles that these Christians 50 years ago were applying a hard shell that doesn't fit life today. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Today, in the United States of America, women don't cook anymore. Now, back then, when those Christians were opposing liberalism and all the junk that came out in the last 100 years, when those Christians were opposing that, you know those women cooked. Now, what is going to happen to you as a family if you try to live an American lifestyle today on one income? You fail. You are not going to live an American lifestyle on one income. You see, if the husband is the person who's supposed to be doing the work, and the woman is supposed to be sitting at home with the kids, then the woman at home better be doing the job that's her job. In other words, if the family's living in a $300,000 house in a suburb of a big city, and they own 2 cars, and they own all the conveniences of life, and they eat out 3 or 4 times a week, and the rest of the time they put meals in the oven from a freezer, and they go to barber shops for haircuts. They don't have a garden. That woman better go get a job. She better go get a job. Because I can tell you one thing, she's not going to be living a spiritual life at home. That woman would be better off taking her kids, hiring a babysitter, and going out and getting a career so she can stay stable in her life, because she's not going to have anything to do. Of course, those are not the only two options. But you know, back many years ago, when human beings were not so dependent on a system like we are today in America, the woman worked, just taking care of the house, harder than most career women work today in America. Because while the husband was doing his job, she was churning butter, milking cows, growing a garden, etc., 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 etc. And all you have to do is read Farmer Boy by Laura Ingalls to get an idea of how women have lived at times in history. The way that a wife lived on a farm like that was harder work than any girl in this room has ever done in her life, having a job anywhere. Now, I agree with women staying at home. Married women with kids, I agree with them staying at home. But I do not agree with them staying at home and living an American lifestyle. And What about the situation sometimes when, because of where you are, who you are, how, what kind of a house you live in, and the kind of place you live in, what about a situation, let's say for example, somebody were to get converted tomorrow. A family, a whole family. Mom, dad, two kids. They currently own a house that's worth $400,000. Both of them have very high paying jobs. They can afford it, but they couldn't sell it if they tried. They both own cars they're in debt for. And they both are paying on school loans. And the children are 7 and 8 years old. And we walk up to that family and say, now, the Bible says that you, woman, are to be keepers, a keeper at home. You're going to need to give up your career to please God. You're going to have to go home. And they go home and they look over their situation. They look over their books and they say, there is absolutely no way that we can make the payments and everything that we owe money on if she quits her job. Anyone want to volunteer to me what that woman should do? She better keep working. She better. We have adopted, some Christians have adopted, in many of our Christian circles, this idea, this very false and damaging idea, if you permit me to be controversial tonight, about what men's work is and what women's work is. It hurts. It hurts the family in a lot of ways to have this false idea. But I want to give you a couple of scripture ideas about what women's work is. First in Genesis chapter 29. Just one verse. Jacob has come on his journey and he has come to the land of his mother. And he's speaking to the people who are gathering together at the well. And in verse 9 it says, while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. That looks like a very innocent, simple verse. It doesn't do much to you probably when you read it. Rachel kept her father's sheep. But did you ever stop to think about what that entailed? Jacob tells you what it entails. Later, a couple chapters later, Jacob tells you what it entailed. He says he got consumed by the drought in the day, the heat. He got consumed by the frost at the night, in the night. He personally said Laban made him bear the loss of any animals that were missing from the flock that were torn of wild beasts. He didn't mention that there were any wild beasts around there, but what was he bearing the loss from? What is this little girl doing out here taking care of the father's flock? Why is this her job when there's wild beasts out there she may have to fight with, and there's cold, long nights, and there's warm, hot days? Where's Laban? Now let me tell you something, I don't know. He might have been sitting on his couch watching TV. I don't know where he was. But let's just assume, for the sake of this story, that he was working as hard as he possibly could, and he was taking care of something else important. I don't think that Rachel probably had anything that terribly complicated. She had a fairly small flock of sheep, Jacob says. Jacob told Laban that later when he was telling Laban what he did for him, because he told Laban, you know, your flocks were small when I came here, and now they're large. And he was arguing for what he had done for him. But the fact of the matter is, some people would look at a job like this and say, wait a minute now, Rachel can't do that. I want to tell you something. I want you to listen just for a minute. When it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother, and Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Today, in our society in America, we don't hardly even have the ability to understand what work is. We are so lazy, so absolutely spoiled. We are conditioned to believing that we have a right to work a 40-hour work week with 3 weeks paid vacation in a year. And we fuss anytime anything gets a little bit too hard. But if you, as a human being, boy or girl, want to be the kind of a person that's going to go anywhere in life, or that is going to be likely to get married and have a successful home, just put yourself into this mindset for a minute, okay? Why, tell me why, somebody in this room, tell me why Jacob loved Rachel. You just think she was cute? You know what? The fact of the matter is, all girls are cute. Leah was cute too, but Leah wasn't out with the sheep. The Bible doesn't tell us what Leah was doing. But she wasn't out with the sheep. And Rachel being out with the sheep did something to her. This isn't Bible now. This is my personal opinion, all right? You guys can chuck my personal opinions if you want. But I got another one for you. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We find exactly the same principle that I'm describing here in Song of Solomon chapter 1. Verse 5, the girl talking here says, I am black but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. This girl calls herself black. Why is she black? Is she black because she is a dark person by birth? Is that what she's talking about? Now she may be dark by birth because the people in that area are a little bit darker than white, okay? But they're not black. And it's not what she's talking about because she tells us why she's black. Because she has a dark suntan. Okay, that's why. She's black because the sun has looked at her. Because something happened. We don't know the story of this household. But we know one thing about this girl. She was disliked in the family. And they sent her out. Her brothers and sisters were angry with her. And she ended up being the person that didn't get along with the family, and she was the one who was outdoors all the time, taking care of the vineyard. She was the one who did the outdoor work, that took care of the vineyards and didn't take care of herself. You know, there's a lot of girls who believe that makeup and a mirror are all they need to make themselves beautiful. And the fact of the matter is they can't do anything with themselves with those two ingredients. You want to make yourself beautiful. Go get something to do. Get a life. Work. I'm not talking. It doesn't have to be outside, but just work. Just do something. It builds soul. It builds soul inside to work. And when you build soul inside, soul bubbles and soul comes out on the face, and that's where beauty is. So listen to what happened. Listen to what the Bible says about this girl now. Verse 8. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women. That's all the further I need to read. Why is this girl almost as if apologizing to the world for her looks? Because she didn't take care of herself. She's apologizing to the world for her looks because she didn't keep her own vineyard. She's dark suntan. Just a couple verses later, the Bible is calling her, O thou fairest among women. Why? Your beauty comes out of your work. You cannot be a TV watching, soda drinking, couch potato, and have anything of any value inside. You can't. You get value inside by working it. Now, as we go to the chapter that describes the virtuous woman in the Bible, it's in chapter 31 of Proverbs. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Verse 10, "For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth hold on the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." If anybody in this room had the opportunity to marry a girl of the caliber that Proverbs chapter 31 is talking about, you would do well to take up the opportunity. She is quite amazing in what she does. Because this woman, she appears like she is a keeper at home in every sense of the word. She takes perfect good care of her family. She gets up early in the morning while many of them are still in bed, even though the night before her candle didn't go out when it got dark. She gets up early in the morning and makes food for the family. But then she's working. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. And in, in verse 24 it says, "She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant." Now, unfortunately, she slipped up once here when she delivered the girdles to the merchant because she left the house. I don't know if she took all the kids with her on the wagon ride or what. But she slipped up there because she was out pursuing a career and she was away from home. She is not a woman that is created of God to satisfy the whims of her husband and cook food for him, with the rest of her time vacant for sitting on the telephone. She's not that kind of a woman. In fact, she's quite aggressive here. She goes out and she goes shopping for real estate, and when she finds what she likes, she buys it. Now, I wish I had a wife like that. But my wifey, if she goes out and buys real estate when I don't even know it's happening, she better be planning on working to pay for it too, because I don't want no debt she can't pay, all right? Okay, well, this woman meets these qualifications. She's got it all set. We basically have in this chapter the story of a woman who very much brings together being both a keeper at home and a hard worker in earning money for the family also. And what I am trying to say tonight is that is extremely, not only extremely acceptable, but it is desirable. In one way or another, the woman of the family should be fulfilling that role. Doesn't necessarily have to be earning a dime. All depends on the structure of your family. It depends on how many kids you have and where you're living and what kind of things there are there for her to do. It could include earning money. It doesn't need to include earning money. But it absolutely means that she is equally fulfilling the responsibilities of taking care of the financial needs of the family as the man is. That is not a man's work. It has never, ever in Scripture been designated man's work to take care of the financial responsibilities of the family. See, we in America, because we don't do anything for ourselves, we're dependent on everything, we only have this vision of finances. It's the only way we can see anything. But the fact of the matter is, most of what women have always done throughout history has been what we are paying for right now. They've done it themselves in the home. So for the woman to make bread instead of going to the grocery store and buying bread, and for the woman to make pizza instead of buying pizza out of the coolers at the grocery store, is earning the keep financially for the family, as well as a man is out there working a job. Now, some people have, I'll bring this up while I'm thinking about it, some people have criticized the fact that women shouldn't be in the workplace at all. Shouldn't be in the workplace because it causes trouble. All the problems with guys and girls working together in the same place. I agree. But you know what? If we are going to take that trouble that putting girls in the workplace is going to cause and build a doctrine out of it, we are also going to have to take the same stand against guys being in the workplace. Unfortunately, it causes trouble. Sometimes they fight, but more than that, I'm going to talk right now about the home, because I know for a fact that all over Christian circles, all over the place, the women struggle at home trying to raise the kids, and the guys lift maybe one half of a finger once in a while to help her with the spiritual needs of the family, because it's not their job. You see, this is where we mix up men's and women's roles. Why is it not your job, Mr. Man, to raise these children for God? Why is it not your job to discipline them? Why is it not your job to change dirty diapers? Why is it not your job to wash dirty dishes? Because it's my job to earn the money for the family, and my wife is supposed to be a keeper at home. And so we start putting categories out here that the Bible never ever said one word about. And men today In many Christian circles, men today are neglecting their duties in the home every single bit as much as any career woman who has ever professed the name of Christianity. Neglecting their duties in the home. Because those duties are the woman's duty, they say. My duty is to earn the money. It's the woman's duty to run the home. It's her duty to take care of the kids. It's her duty to change the dirty diapers. It's her duty to do the laundry. This was so bad, permeated, not just religious America, but actually the irreligious part of America, that I even had comments when I was growing up from some women when they found out that I sewed. I got some comments complimenting me as though I was really brave to go against the grain like that. The only time I ever found anybody doing dishes in the scripture was a man. I found Abraham cooking. I found Jacob and Esau cooking. I found Jesus cooking. I found Jesus' disciples cooking. There's a time and a place in America where women absolutely, no matter what is their situation in life, they absolutely have to work. We already read a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says, verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." Now, for a person to be irresponsible in the family, where they will not work, and they will not provide for their own family, the Bible says he is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. Now, it says he. Why he? Is this really a man's job? What if you, personally, happen to be a woman with six kids and your husband leaves you? You know, it's not a moral wrong to leave your kids with a babysitter and go work a job. It's not an ideal situation, but it's not a moral wrong. Not taking care of those six kids would be a moral wrong. So what's she supposed to do? Well, of course, it would be just absolutely wonderful and awesome if the perfect situation would fall into her lap where she could make some money at home without hardly working for it and just answer both problems. But, you know, this is just not the way things are. And we all know a woman personally, who had just exactly that situation happen to her. Married, I don't remember how many kids she had, 6, 7, 8. Her husband leaves her, he runs off, he leaves her with the kids. You know that woman? She went to work, she supported her family, and she homeschooled them. And don't you ask how she did it, because she probably doesn't even know. You know, this world is actually full of girls who can do that. I don't know if I've ever met a guy who could. She did what she had to do She had to do it. She didn't have a choice. She didn't have somebody coming up to her and offering to pay all her bills for her. She had no choice. She had to take care of the family. And you know what? The Bible says that we, as a church, as a people, are not to take women in to being supported widows. We are not to take them in unless they are 60 years old. That's what the Bible says in this same passage. What does God say to all these women out there who are under 60 and in a situation like that? Oh, it's very simple. You're supposed to get married. Now try it. Go try it. See, you see, the fact of the matter is, God's ideals for a home don't always match life. And you become absolutely insane if you try to box life up in a set of ideals. God's will for these women is that they go get married, that they bear children, and that they guide the house. But that's God's will for you, two little girls sitting right there. And I'm positive that you're trying. But right now, you know, nothing has happened yet. Okay, fine. Okay, so what should you guys do right now? Well, okay, obviously there are some very, very strong Christian people. We'll tell you, both of you, you guys are living in sin. Because you have left your home. You belong back at home, and you are not to be working a job. Because you are girls. Girls don't work. Girls are supposed to... That's why God made telephones. He was a little late in coming out with the invention. Now, I didn't find that anywhere in my Bible. I didn't find that. I did find some pretty concise information on the fact that a girl's job, her job in life, is taking care of the home. That's her job. Getting married, taking care of the kids. But that is not her job in opposition to, oh, so she doesn't have to help out with the needs of the family. You know, I hate to pet this cat again, but I'm sorry. He's standing in front of me. I'm going to give him a little rub down. I have heard so many people grumble about health food because it's unaffordable. Now, the fact of the matter is, I did not find anywhere in my Bible that says that if you don't shop at a health food store, you're living in sin. So it says this is not a moral issue. If you want to go shop at Walmart, you are not sinning. All right? Okay? So that's settled, at least in my mind. Brandon might disagree. But the fact of the matter is, don't come up with the excuse you can't afford health food. That's phooey. You choose what you spend your money on. And you know, as a matter of fact, if you want to go to a place like Golden Harvest that rips people off, steals out of their back pocket when they're walking down the aisles, you're going to have to spend $5 for a loaf of bread. Do you know what you paid for? You paid for ingredients. You paid somebody's labor to make it. And you paid for the cost of a building and a bunch of employees to sell it. Okay, that's what you paid for. Now, you look at that loaf of bread and say, can't afford it. I'm a Christian. I'm a one-income family. My wife can't work because she's a keeper at home. I can't afford it. So I'm going to go to Walmart, and I'm going to buy a loaf of bread off their shelf for $1.19. I save money, right? But see, the fact of the matter is, that wife could have gone into a store, bought all the ingredients to make that bread, and gone home like she was supposed to, at her counter, make her bread. And it probably cost her about 90 cents for the loaf. Don't tell me you can't afford health food. But we have to understand whose responsibility it is to provide for the family here. Because you see, if we put all this job of providing for the family on the husband, and the wife is just, oh, she's just a keeper at home, she's too dumb, unintelligent, and weak to do anything, she's just supposed to stay home and spank the kids and talk on the phone, then we have all these troubles here where she's fulfilling her responsibility, she's not carrying her own weight in the family. I don't care what you do in your family. I don't care what you. I don't care if your wife finds herself a job that she can work, even when she's got kids. I don't care if she works a job, as long as she's not neglecting any duties at home. If she can find a job where she can work maybe a couple evenings if she wants to while the husband is at home with the kids and that's something they want to do, that's okay. It's not wrong. I don't care if she finds a job she can work at home. If she doesn't have kids and there isn't anything at all to do at home, she probably ought to be working. Not necessarily. That depends on what else she has to do. That's your choice, okay? But let's break down this stupid separation between men's and women's roles in life, because they overlap about 90% of the way. And the only jobs that is just simply the men's role, or just simply the women's role, half of it I couldn't talk about right now. And the other half, maybe a few little things that, well, are really hard work that a woman couldn't do because she maybe isn't as strong as her husband. You know, most women probably could not do a lot of wood splitting. It's a job that you need a little bit more muscle for. So if you're heating your house with wood, you better get out there, you husband. You know, things of that nature, there's jobs like that. But as a rule, God never, ever said to you, Noah, God never, ever said to you that it was Mary's job to change dirty diapers. He never told you that. And he never told Mary either that it was your job to provide all the financial stuff for the family either, you know? And if she has the ability to save the household some money by working hard at home, that's her job. And actually, you can get a family to run together quite smoothly if you just simply, if both people in the family are just simply open to the opportunities they have and they like work, just like work. I'm going to cause more trouble now. I want to ask you a question. The feminist movement and the women's liberation movement and all the different things that have happened in the United States in the last 100 years, whose fault was it? Who did wrong? The women, right? No, wait. It wasn't the women. It was the devil. You see, I think in Christian circles, there's two theories. Some would think, oh, these bad women, out of control, doing their own thing, won't listen to authority. And some people who like women too much to blame them for that, oh, the devil, he's out to destroy the home. And you know what we guys always fail to look at is us men. Brandon, did you scratch at your cage today to try to get out of it? You didn't. I know you didn't, because you weren't in a cage. If somebody had put you in one, would you have tried to get out? Okay, there you go. Now, if men are abusive in their authority towards women, lord it over them, require everything of them, and give nothing to them, what should the women do? Try to get out? Well, actually, you know what the women are supposed to do according to the Bible? They're supposed to submit. I'll tell you something. If you young men out here, were a woman, and somebody did to you what men have done over the course of much of the history of the world, you would have scratched to get out too. You would have scratched to get out too. I am a believer. I am an absolute believer in taking responsibility when things go wrong. Don't blame anybody. God set the men to rule in the home. He left the men over the works of his hands. And if the world is a mess, then before we go anywhere else or look at anything else, we should take a deep, deep, deep look inside and find out what we are failing in. That's first place. You guys here, if anything's wrong in your home, always start with yourself. Not necessarily every single time anything happens wrong in a home, is it necessarily absolutely the husband's blame? You know, we can't go to seed with this idea. But God put you in authority, and He put you in authority. When you have authority, you have responsibility. And if women are trying to get out from under the authority of men, I have a very strong, sneaking suspicion that it's because men had them in a cage. That's what I think. I have heard some people rant and rave about girls in the military. How awful it is that girls should be in the military. You know, if we had war going on and we were fighting with swords and spears and so on, you know, girls in the military might not work. But you know, we don't fight wars that way anymore. You think I'm a believer of girls in the military? How many of you guys think I believe girls should be in the military? Well, let's give some of the arguments against it. They're weaker than men emotionally, and they can't handle it. Let me tell you something that I happen to know personally about the military. I don't know of any guy who can handle it. What are you doing talking about women, guys? Anybody who is in the military, anybody who is at war, anybody who has had an opportunity to be in real combat and kill people comes home an emotional wreck to one degree or another. I'm not for girls in the military. I'm not for men in the military either. I'm not for war. I don't think God created humans to operate like that. Now, there's a time and a place where war is necessary and where even God Himself commanded it. And I don't bring this subject up to try to take sides with the women who are fighting for women being in the military, because that's not my point. My point is, guys, before we start criticizing girls for their weaknesses, let's understand our own, too. Because we so often put an unhealthy separation between how we view men and women. We put an unhealthy separation there that causes us to actually mistreat girls. It causes us to look down on them, to not give them their full potential, to hold them back. The basics, we may not call it abuse. We may not term it as abuse when we just leave girls in a lower place than what God actually made them to fulfill. We may not actually call it abuse, but we actually are abusing ourselves. We are abusing our God, and we are abusing our family when we do not let girls live up to the potential that God created a girl to be at. It doesn't work. It causes trouble. You're going to have rebellion. You're going to have unhappiness. You're going to get disrespect. So what is the conclusion of this whole road without curbs? I believe that personally today, most everybody who holds strongly to the subject of women being keepers at home is one-sided with it. I believe almost everybody that I have ever talked to that believes that subject strongly is one-sided. I believe most of Christianity is way off in the other field. A virtuous woman is going to take care of her home, and she is going to do whatever she can financially for the family also. A virtuous man is going to support the home, and he is going to do whatever he can for the family when he gets home from work. Now, don't blame me for saying that. I believe that. Even if you don't like it, I believe that. It is not your job as a man to go out and work for 8 hours, leaving your home, leaving your wife at home to talk on the phone for 8 hours, and then you come home and sit in a chair while she serves you for the night. I love the passage. I absolutely love the passage in the Scriptures where it says that when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to serve us. I love the passage when he gets the towel and the water and goes around to the disciples' feet and washes them. If you guys want, if you men here want to fulfill your role in the home, let me tell you what your job is. Your job is to take care of your wife and kids. That's your job. And that includes way more than working 8 hours and providing an income for the family. Of course, every family on earth is different in what needs are and stuff. And there's even such a thing as guys who are disabled and can't do that. You cannot ever treat... There's no absolutes, rights and wrongs, like this is the way it has to be, this is what you have to do. But one thing that is always the right is you as the husband and you as the wife, you do all the things that you can reasonably do to make the home successful. And for you guys, one of those things that often I have seen neglected in the Christian home is the emotional support that the family needs of having a dad and a husband working with them on the things in the house. Those of you dads who are here who've never done laundry with your wife, it is not too late. All right? It is not too late. You say, well, but I got other better things to do in life. You know, I do have firewood to split. I gotta let my wife do the laundry because she can't do this. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, your wife is built to need companionship, and she wants you to fold laundry with her. Do it for her. Then when you go outside to split the firewood, she can come out and she can stack wood with you. All right? You know, actually, these aren't absolutes, because it's okay if the woman stays in the house and does the laundry by herself and the guy goes out and splits firewood by himself. That's okay. It's not wrong. But when you see families that so depart from each other that they never do anything together, we have ended with disaster. The home isn't there anymore. When me and Nikki first got married, we did everything together. It didn't matter what it was. Everything that we did together. Now, the necessities of life have caused us to separate a little bit. She does some things that I just don't help her with much, and I do some things she doesn't help me with much, because we've got a lot to do. And I don't like it. I wish it wasn't that way. I really wish it wasn't that way, but it is. It is that way. And lastly, there's one thing that I want to leave you with. We live in a society that is rotten, and it is sometimes very difficult to actually accomplish what we want, how we want to order our life. It's sometimes very difficult to do that in the society that we live in. But I want to liken society tonight to a tree. And you, there are two basic jobs that are being done on this tree, let's say. One is bearing fruit. And the other is providing for the fruit bearing. Okay, the hard work is done down here. This just kind of happens. If you are a person who is dependent on the society of the United States of America today and trying to live a Christian life, you are probably going to be in a very compromised state, and you are probably, your family isn't going to look like you want it to look. You may look like this banana growing on this tree that is coming unpeeled and rotten juice is dripping on the floor, on the ground. Or you may look like some of those apples that are small and tart, misshapen. And many times Christians are promoting this idea. You have to go out and get a good education because you need to have a good job because it's difficult, and even especially in the United States, it is difficult to have a family on a single income. You go provide for your family. Go get yourself a good job. If you follow that advice, you become, for the most part, the fruit. Because that fruit, when you get up in the higher end of the world, when you get up into the places where the people make the bigger monies, this isn't an absolute. There's exceptions to every rule, but this is an idea that I have when I look at the situation. You are oftentimes in a place where society has more control over you. For example, you become manager of a large corporate nationwide chain, and when they want you in Atlanta, Georgia next month, you move. Doesn't matter if your church is here in Rhinelander. You move. You may be an upper executive in a company, and you're going to have to travel. I know a specific family right now who the guy is high up in a company, and he is traveling all the time, all the time. That's not good for a family. In fact... I almost am ready to say that's sin for a Christian. You almost cannot fulfill the responsibilities that God gave to you to have over your family if you are away from home more than you are home. You almost can't fulfill it. If you want to be the kind of a person who can actually accomplish life according to the principles that you want to accomplish it, we need to come down here in the mud. Because down here, on the basic level, is where much of the actual structure of what's going to happen up here takes place. You know, if you're up here growing on the tree, there's not a single thing that you have control over as to what you're going to be. Whatever is sent up through the roots is what you're going to be. I advocate, as a Christian, that you know how to work. Because if you want to get through life on an easy road, you are probably going to be the fruit. You're going to be the fruit. And you're going to be whatever society is pumping into you is what you're going to be. You can go out and get an advertising job, let's say. Go get into advertising. And you're going to struggle as a Christian to do half of the jobs that come across your lap. Go get into the high up ranks of any major company, and you are going to struggle with the way they treat people. You are going to struggle with the dirty, downright dirty way they run business. And they're going to want you to join them. Try to be the president once. See if it works with your Christianity. Or you can just dip yourself down there in the dirt, and you can just start sipping that juicy water, that brown juicy water that comes out of the dirt that's full of minerals, and sending it up. And you can actually be an improvement to the fruit that's up there by the work that you do. I'm kind of spiritualizing this tree. It's not a very good illustration. But I think I'm getting the point across. Don't look at society and pull your hair out and say, how can I as a Christian man live my values in this world, both serve God and accomplish what He wants, what I would need to be in life to provide for my family. There is a way. There is a way to accomplish the will of God and live in a sinful society. But it's effort. It's effort. It's not a free ride. And we want, today, we want the men and the women that are in this room, we want you guys to put your efforts together. Whenever a home is formed, put your efforts together to work towards a family life, peace, happiness, hard work. And don't buy into this. Don't buy into this ultra keepers at home doctrine that disallows the women from moving a finger in the work world. Don't buy into that. It is not biblical. You will not find it in the Bible. It's damaging. If you are a girl and you are single, work. Take care of yourself. If you are a girl and you're married and you have no kids, work. Unless you got something else that keeps you busy all the time. If you're a guy, work. And then when you go home, do the housework too. And why was the statement said that I told you at the beginning? Why was the statement said that my and Nikki's marriage would not succeed? Because Nikki was working at the store. Why did somebody say that? You know, I'm a very privileged person. I'm a very, very privileged person. Because I get to see my wife more, way, way more than the average guy who works a 40-hour work week and goes home. She's with me most of the day. Not so much anymore. Now with as many kids as we have, she's staying at home more. But up until very recently, she's been with me most of the day. My kids are with me. We sit in the office together. We're all lazy. We just sit around in chairs and chat. None of us work. We have employees to make money for us. No, that is actually not true. No, the fact of the matter is, I think that in the 11 years that I've been married to Nikki, she has probably outworked virtually any guy out there in the work world. But it becomes so insane to take a stereotyped idea and throw it at somebody because, well, you know, Nikki not only works at the store, she gets a check too. I mean, she is so disobedient to the scriptures by not being a keeper at home. But it's stupidity. She's actually more of a keeper at home at the store than she is at home, because we spend more time at the store than we spend at home. That's our home. Our house is our motel. You wouldn't want your wife to go clean hotels all day long just because. I mean, you know what I mean. So anyway, that is how I view the subject, and it is kind of a gray subject. You cannot put anybody into a box on this subject. You have to be very careful that you don't blame anybody for doing something a little bit different than you might even do it. But at the end of the day, God created humanity to work. If you're not working, you're going to suffer for it. And if you are a girl, specifically, and you want to be cute, work. Because the girls who have nothing to do have no soul. Not much. Underdeveloped. So I hope that I made some sense, and I guess we'll dismiss.